The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
Welcome to our program, and thanks for joining me today. Just a short story, but an interesting one. As many of you know, I was a campus minister at UCSB for 5 years. At that time, and we are going way back to the early 1980s, this school had a reputation for offering the best religious studies department in the country. Of course, best is in the eye of the beholder when we're talking about religion. It was the kind of religious studies where all religions were respected except the religion of Christianity. You heard how beautiful Hinduism was, or Islam, or Judaism. But on the day they talked about the Bible, they were told that the Bible contradicts itself, that the Bible promotes slavery, that the Bible is a chauvinistic book. I've mentioned this before because I have shared other stories from my years at UCSB, but today's is rather an interesting one because constantly the students in my ministry would come and tell me about some other problem with the Bible pointed out by an enthusiastic religious studies professor. And of course, I would talk to the students, and I would share the other side in my own seminars, in my own classes, but I wasn't allowed to go and audit these classes myself. Well, on one particular day, I did get a chance to experience at least something very much like auditing the class. I attended an open seminar from one of the profs. Open in the sense that it was open to the public. You didn't have to be a student, but it was held at UCSB. And this professor's premise? Jesus did not really claim to be the Messiah. This was a Jewish rabbi teaching this, and he claimed that all Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, that he never said or taught anything original, that he certainly did not claim anywhere in the Gospels, anywhere in the New Testament, to be the Jewish Messiah. And even though this man was himself Jewish and not a Christian, he did claim to be a New Testament scholar. He claimed to have actually read the New Testament in Greek. Naturally, the speaker made some immediate qualifications. He says, "Of course, we must limit our discussion to the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't count, because I do not believe John was written until AD 200 from Alexandria." Well, that was a convenient thing to say. A lot of the claims of deity and being the Messiah are found in the Gospel of John. So, with one fell swoop, Jesus never made this claim. Oh, well, this fourth gospel where he made all those claims, we don't count that one. Nice try. Exactly how he knew this about John, the prof didn't bother to offer. I raised my hand to make a comment. I'll bet you're not surprised that I raised my hand to make a comment. You, Bob? You? I said, "Okay, sir, well then, this is from the synoptics. I'm not quoting from John. This is from one of the gospels that you said was legitimate, Matthew 16, 15 through 17. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And of course, Christ is from the Greek word for Messiah, Christos. So all I'm doing is quoting this passage. I offered one sentence of commentary. So Jesus did claim to be the Messiah. "Well," he replied, "I believe the text is corrupt at that point." This time I was going to pursue it. "Sir, aren't you involving yourself in circular reasoning? You say Jesus didn't make that claim, but then whenever someone shows you that he did, the text is conveniently corrupt at that point." "No, no, no," he says, "it's not a matter of mere opinion. This is what scholars say about the text. That is not accurate, sir. Isn't it true that there are many scholars who disagree and who would say the text is trustworthy? Well, yeah, sure, but that doesn't settle anything. I'm talking about good scholars. Just because somebody has a PhD, that doesn't necessarily mean he's being scholarly. I almost replied, "Boy, you can say that again." I didn't, however. I restrained myself. My standard for open discussion is that it's okay to disagree. It's even okay to disagree in public. I do debates all the time, but I do want to do it respectfully. I want to do it without wisecracks, so I never made that little wisecrack. I gotta tell you, though, I sure felt like making it. It sure would have applied, and who knows, maybe in some future movie version, that will have been my reply. This is Bob Siegel being a little bit tongue in cheek, but with the Bible, making the obvious obvious.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Well, it's been more than 2 decades since 9/11. One would think this event would have awakened a sleeping world to a religion which expands with the sword. Yeah, it did awaken the world for about 5 minutes. Then in no time at all, Islam became the politically correct religion. It staggers the imagination, but it happened. The narrative? Islam is primarily, mostly a peaceful religion, a very peaceful, very beautiful religion hijacked by just a few nutcase terrorists. And one or two bad apples doesn't spoil the whole barrel. Actually, my friends, it is the opposite. While it's true that there are peaceful Muslims, many peaceful Muslims, millions of peaceful Muslims, that is true. The peaceful ones are either unaware of or reinterpreting their own books. Some people are born in the Muslim countries and don't know that much about their own religion, just as there are people here in America who call themselves Christians and know nothing about Christianity. Others do study the Quran, but they reinterpret very forthright commands of jihad found in Surah 9 and many other places. I do have several podcasts that get into this in much more detail, but for today, I want to key in on how this religion is placated, how even the ones committing violence are somehow being explained and excused that perhaps it's the rest of the world at fault. Perhaps if we treated them differently, they wouldn't feel the need to do these things. This has been going on now, like I said, for over two decades. Looking back, here's one of my favorite examples. This is an article from MSNBC. It will be followed by my own commentary. A Roman Catholic bishop in the Netherlands has proposed people of all faiths refer to God as Allah to foster understanding, stoking an already heated debate on religious tolerance in a country with 1 million Muslims. Bishop Tiny Muskens from the Southern Diocese of Breda told Dutch television on Monday that God did not mind what he was named, and that in Indonesia, where Muskens spent 8 years, priests used the word Allah while celebrating Mass. Allah is a very beautiful word for God. Shouldn't we all say that from now on, we will name God Allah? What does God care what we call him? It is our problem. Catching that, my friends? This whole thing is our problem. Okay, let's get the theology straightened out first, then we'll discuss the lunacy. First theology, then lunacy. What's in a name? Well, there is nothing inherently wrong with the idea of one God going by several names. After all, people go by first names, last names, middle names, nicknames. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament specifically, God did go by several names, but he was always the same person. He was always the same God. And he went out of his way to command that we worship no other God before him. My friends, before the days of Muhammad, Allah was the name of a moon god. That's because Arabs were once polytheistic. In time, there was a trend toward monotheism, and this increased when Muhammad came along. But let's face it, using the name of a moon god wasn't getting the new movement off to a very good start. Now, the Quran teaches that Allah is the same God as the God of the Bible. That is not true, and I could prove that is not true. Even if they used the word God instead of the word Allah, it still would not be true. The God of the Bible is a Trinity. The Quran denies the Trinity. The God of the Bible claims Jesus was God. The Quran denies that Jesus was God. The God of the Bible says we can be forgiven of our sins through Jesus. The Quran teaches no such gospel. And very important, the God of the Bible does not command us to go around killing people in the name of religion. The Quran does. Allah is not God. How sad that a Catholic bishop would not know this. Now I can just imagine what some of you are thinking. Bob, who are you to say that Allah is not God? Well, I'll tell you. I'm just a simple man who is not running for public office, who does not need the help of the United Nations, who does not need to raise funds for some university, who is therefore free to speak his mind. I'm just a simple man who has read what the Bible actually teaches. I have read the Quran as well, cover to cover, and I'm telling you, those books are not talking about the same God. You're free to believe what you want, but if you choose to believe that they are the same God, you have chosen to believe something untrue. It's just that simple. So much for the theology. Back to the lunacy. This bishop made an idiotic statement. Sorry, that's what it was, and it was dangerous, so it needs to be called out. Does he think that by appeasing Muslims, Muslims are going to stop killing us? How long will it take before we learn that appeasing terrorists only guarantees more terror? When the Allies gave Czechoslovakia to Hitler, they were hoping to inspire better relations. Well, they inspired him, all right. They inspired him to attack Poland. After the attack on Poland, England and France immediately declared war on Germany. But a declaration was all they did. They did not, in fact, wage war. They didn't fire one shot. This also inspired Hitler, so he attacked France. The Allies just couldn't seem to get their feet in the water, so Adolf helped them a bit, and then finally France and England were at war with Hitler. Evil tyrants see appeasement as a sign of weakness, and it is a sign of weakness. They see appeasement as a green light to attack again, and after we give in on one demand, they will always be back with more demands. Most of the attacks in Israel were done after Israel made some kind of deal with the Palestinians. After they gave back Gaza, Hamas went into Gaza and started firing rockets into Israel. Surprise, surprise! Well, I almost fell out of my chair when that happened. And why did 9/11 take place? Because Al-Qaeda was led to believe they could get away with it. But you already knew this. You already knew all of this. You knew it way back in grade school. This phenomenon is as old as the playground bully. Did you ever see a bully appeased? Hi, my mom packed an extra sandwich for you, so you won't have to take mine anymore.
Oh? Well, I'll tell you what, Spaz. Why don't I just take both sandwiches then?
Listen, you better stop picking on me, or you'll have to see the principal. She's already written you up on 16 resolutions. Say, instead of picking on me, let's get to know each other. I'd like to make an effort to understand you better. Do you come from a dysfunctional family? Was your Christmas last year not as merry as it could have been? Breathe deeply and close your eyes. I suspect that deep inside your bully facade, there's an inner child trying desperately to get out.
Yes, that will curtail the bully at your neighborhood school, and that same strategy is working so well to stop the jihadists. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539. W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Politics and pop culture intersect, although it begins with politics from long ago. Throughout the years, Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee has been in the news quite often, but one event that created a lot of buzz at the time still sticks with me, even though everyone else has probably forgotten about it. It sticks with me for a couple of reasons. Partly because it was so unbelievable, but mostly because it dovetails into one of my pet peeves. And you know how much I cherish my pet peeves. This takes us all the way back to the year 2009. Sheila Jackson Lee both answered and talked on her cell phone right in the middle of a town hall meeting while somebody, a cancer-stricken lady in fact, was in the middle of asking her a question from the town hall audience. Now, I am willing to accept the possibility that Miss Lee answered her phone innocently without any intentions of deliberate sabotage. However, whatever her intentions were, the result was still the same. The result was still rudeness. In fact, it was incredibly rude, but not any more so than the way most people handle their cell phones or smartphones these days. Now, I have a smartphone myself. Of course, it's a wonderful convenience, and I can barely remember anymore what it was like without one. How nice to be able to follow friends on a road trip without worrying that your hotshot buddy is going to lose you so that he can brag about what good time he made, and you spend the rest of the day figuring out how to connect and stop at a phone booth and hoping that somebody calls into a mutual friend. It was a nightmare. And remember when somebody went to pick you up at the airport and they weren't there and you had no way of calling them and they had those white phones? So yes, things have changed in a good way. It is very convenient now to have cell phones. Still, the cell phone or smartphone or Android is a double-edged sword. In its own right, I always considered the older landline phone to be an intrusive device anyway. Didn't you enjoy standing in some store line for 10 minutes? Then when they're finally ready to take you, the phone would ring and the call automatically trumps any customer who was there in the flesh? Remember saying to yourself, hey, I actually took the time to come down here. Why does some meatball get first priority over me just because he dialed a phone? Or you're in the middle of a heavy conversation with a friend, an important conversation with a friend, a personal conversation. The phone rings. Oh, I'm sorry. I really need to take this call. Or a bunch of people have gathered together to watch a video in somebody's home, the phone rings, and instead of pretending you are viewing this movie in a theater, the way the good Lord intended movies to be seen, somebody feels obligated to grab the phone. Once, a friend of mine picked me up late for a ride to the airport. I almost missed my plane. Her excuse? The phone just wouldn't stop ringing this morning. When I had the unmitigated gall to ask her why she bothered to answer the phone while running late, she said, I feel guilty if I don't pick up the phone. Quite a society we live in, ladies and gentlemen, conditioned to jump every time a bell rings. And let's not forget the solicitors who neither hear the word no or the word no thank you, nor even offer the word salesman when they first start talking to you. Instead, you pick up the phone and you hear something like, Mr. Siegel, how do 3 weeks in London sound? Enter from stage left the cell phone. Now our daily situations of life can be interrupted about 100 times as much. They go off at the banks. They go off at the restaurants. They go off in the middle of a church service. They go off in the middle of movie theaters. They go off in the middle of live theater. And when people pick them up, they do not talk, they shout. They shout because we are used to the days when we spoke on a phone in the privacy of our home. We raised our voices to make sure we were heard on the other end. And our hot wind was not rude at that time because we were not in a public place. But now it does go on in a public place. Nothing more fun than waiting in a bank line behind somebody who is shouting into his phone. Sometimes the person is unaware of how loud he sounds. Other times, I suspect they enjoy feeling important as the rest of us witness the amorphous business deal being made right before our very eyes. The latest fashion is the earpiece. Now it just looks like somebody is talking to himself. A while back, I walked into Taco Bell. The lady at the counter looked me in the eye and said, "May I take your order?" I started ordering. She raised her hand immediately and said, "Not you, sir." Oh, I get it. She was talking to a drive-through customer listening on her earpiece. And the wonder of these earpieces and her tone to me made me feel like quite the fool. Silly me. A lady behind a counter stares me right in the face, asks for an order, and like a complete idiot who doesn't know any better, I start ordering. Whatever could I have been thinking? Once, in a movie theater, a cell phone rang from a guy sitting next to me. It was his wife. I should not have known that it was his wife, but I did because the little discussion with Lammy Pie was impossible to miss. What do you want? I'm at the movies.
I guess he must have felt she had some nerve calling him at such a time. Of course, he had the nerve to let his phone ring, pick it up, and talk. Sometimes people are indeed surprised to discover they are not the only ones in the theater. Newsflash, often others are also in the room, and some of them would actually like to be able to watch the movie. I'll never forget the time I took my daughter to see a live performance of My Fair Lady here in San Diego. Right as the overture started, a cell phone went off. Now, for some reason, I'll never understand this side of heaven. These huckleberries are always sitting next to me. At least this time, the Joker seemed to be aware that there were others in the theater and that he ought not to be on his cell phone. Yes, he was aware of that. Unfortunately, this burst of revelation did not encourage him to turn the phone off. He still took the call. Overture's playing. Now I can't talk long because the show just started. Oh, yes, and now the phones don't ring anymore. They play colorful little jingles. My favorite is that sequence of melody that repeats itself three times, each one louder than the last. But that's only one of thousands to choose from. Nothing more fun than preaching a sermon and suddenly hearing Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Bach go off in the third row. And so, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised or too hard on Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. After all, a congresswoman is supposed to represent the people. Her rudeness and cluelessness represent American people today quite well. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. And now, it's time for another episode of What's Revealed in the Mar-a-Lago Affidavit with your old pal, Bob. You've been listening to another episode of What's Revealed in the Mar-a-Lago Affidavit with your old pal, Bob. And now say hello once again to producer Brendan Thomas. How you doing, Brendan?
Very, very good. I mean, to be honest, what were they expecting to bring out of that case? It was another time where our government wasted our time and our tax dollars once again.
Felt pen over five or six pages. Your tax dollars hard at work.
Thank you so much, everybody. Anyways, speaking of crickets, we had a very famous cricket passed away from the Crickets. The drummer, Jerry Allison, passed away I think either a few days ago on August 22nd. He also helped write the songs That'll Be the Day and Peggy Sue while he was in the band as well.
Oh, wow. So he wrote for Buddy Holly.
That's correct. Yeah. Wow. He was 82 years old. And then another person that we possibly are a huge fan of, Robert Lupin, passed away. He played James the Apostle in Jesus Christ Superstar, the movie.
Oh, okay.
Itself. So let me double check his age super quick. I think he was, yeah, he was 76 years old. So,
very sad.
Yes, exactly. Very our sad. Hearts and prayers.
Go we out. Always hate it when, well, it's sad when anybody dies, but celebrities. We grow up around celebrities. We always hate that.
Exactly. So let's go on to our news stories that I have for you today. Our horrible, horrible, never knows what to do Newsom was in the news this week.
Is that your new nickname for him? Never knows what to do Newsom?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I've heard King Nebuchadnezzam. That's a good one. Gruesome Newsom. That's
gruesome
always
Newsom
a fun
is
one.
Always the classic.
Yeah, that's. I think that was the original.
He vetoed a bill this week, which would allow supervision over drug use in three
Wait,
cities.
The Democratic Party working with him passed a bill? Because I know no Republicans can pass a bill, so he vetoed from his own Democrats.
Exactly. Yes. Here's his quote, by the way. I just want to read this. It is let me first off say.
Yeah, tell us what the bill was going to do.
The bill
exactly.
was supposed to have supervision over drug injections for different people, and this was specifically at three big cities, San Francisco, LA, and Sacramento. They were supposed to have big drug facilities where they could watch these people to make sure they're getting the sufficient amount of drugs they need for certain medicines that they needed to do. But obviously, that's a terrible idea, in my opinion, because you could easily pay somebody or you can easily turn your head very quickly and someone just overdoses just like that. So I think that was a terrible idea, and I'm glad Newsom actually vetoed it. But I want to read his quote very quickly because this is...
Wait, so you're on the air saying you actually agreed with something Newsom did.
I know, oh, right? No, goodness. No. Well, wait. It gets worse. Here.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. He says, and I quote, "It is possible that these sites would help improve the safety and health of our urban areas. But if not done, keyword, with a strong plan, that would work against this purpose."
Oh, so he's not really against it. He just wants them to do it better.
And excuse me, a strong plan. how many of your bills have you passed already that we cannot do? For example, recently we have our gas bill that was going to be passed with the petroleum being stopping to sell at 2035 in the state of California. And we don't have the infrastructure to continue with that right now. We're going to have blackouts and brownouts everywhere.
They are no longer going to allow people to sell gasoline-ridden vehicles. They'll have to all be electric.
Right. Exactly.
I did, however, figure out what I'm going to do about that.
Oh, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to declare that my gas car identifies as an electric car.
Oh, my God. I should have had the comedy to do. Oh, my God. I love that. I love that idea because... it works in our society these days too, I guess. And then to help project that whole, like, you know, petroleum idea too, they passed this other plan called Project Nexus. I don't know if you heard this one either. It's a $20 million plan where they're going to put a solar canopy over some reservoirs, only three reservoirs, mind you, in Central California, because we're having some problems with the water irrigation system for farms over there too. So this is supposed to protect it from getting evaporated, but it's also supposed to get some solar power for charging stations in Central California, which, by the way, scientists have already said that solar power is not going to give enough power to charge these vehicles. So you're wasting our tax dollars.
It's not
again.
Even going to come close. They're going to have to use coal and gas to create more electricity to charge the cars. You can only get so much from solar and wind power.
Exactly. So I don't know.
I'm not against solar power.
No, but... no, that's not what I'm getting at either. But again, we've proven the fact that there's not going to be enough power for this amount of charging that's going to be needed for all those electric vehicles that people are going to have to buy by that time.
I used to love Trump's routine at his rallies. He'd go, "Honey, I'd like to watch the news tonight. Is the wind blowing?"
It's true. I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, he is a voice.
He's a funny
of,
guy.
No, but he's also a voice of reason.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go ahead and move to a national story today. Cassville, Missouri School District just passed saying that they are allowed to paddle kids now as a form of discipline. Now, they have stated that this is the furthest form of discipline already. Like, the reason why this was brought up was because parents wanted an alternative to suspensions for discipline, which I'm for too. The one thing that you shouldn't be doing to a kid is taking them out of the school system itself, because, I mean, they're not going to learn that way otherwise. So we're going to have to find another alternative. But this paddling kids, I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's a...
It's a hard one. There certainly needs to be better discipline. I think that should be done in the home. I am not one of those that equates paddling or a spanking with child abuse. I mean, as long as it's done on the behind.
Exactly.
If a parent's smacking their kid in the face, that would be child abuse. It should be done in the home. And yet when it's not being done in the home and the kid's being disruptive, I understand that suspending the kid may not help the kid, but it may help bring some order to the classroom. So it's a hard one. It's difficult to know what to do in some of these.
I know.
But I know that what we're doing in the schools has been a nightmare.
Yes, exactly. And public schools have already been pretty, I would say, they're at the end of their wits in terms of what they can help with the student, really, because otherwise parents are going to jump at their throat, I feel like, a lot of the
time. Well, maybe the student can just say, even though you suspended me, I identify as not being suspended.
Not being suspended, exactly.
Makes about as much sense as all the other stuff they're selling us.
Well, the superintendent, Dr. Merlin Johnson, also quoted saying, paddling will only be done by the school administrators, and there will also be a certified school employee in the room as well to make sure that there's a limit to the physicality.
It's not going to fly. There's going to be a lawsuit faster than you can sneeze.
Yeah.
And I don't even think the Supreme Court will hold. Now, I should say, in early times when the Puritans were here, it was, and even long after that, it was very common for there to be paddling in schools, and nobody thought anything about it. It's difficult to imagine in the times we live in, but who knows? Maybe it's just difficult for us to imagine. I will say at this point, I'd be much more comfortable if something like that's going on in the home and not in the public school. I don't think that's their place, but it is their place to be able to discipline the kids somehow.
I agree.
So those who object to the paddling, then we need to say, okay, then help us out.
Exactly.
What are you suggesting?
Give
you can't just sit back and let the kids do anything they want.
Yeah, exactly. Don't sit there and complain. Actually,
you have already identified.
Yeah, exactly. You've already identified the problem. Now offer up some other solutions that we can go around with this.
Exactly.
Personally, I did grow up getting spanked sometimes. And again, I think I grew to be a bigger person from it too, as well. But surprisingly enough, I don't know if I'm just with today's society. When I have a kid, I've already promised myself I wouldn't do that kind of action yet. Now, my wife, on the other hand, says no, she still wants to, which is fine. I mean, I
don't think all kids necessarily need to be spanked, but some kids figure out that the timeout is not so bad compared to the fun they're going to get disobeying you. So there's got to be some kinds of consequences are really going to stay with them.
I'm going to be watching Super Nanny on loop right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to discipline my troubled kid now?
I remember when I used to read Superman comic books, they had a Super Baby when Ma and Pa Kent and Smallville were raising him, and he was getting out of control and flying around the room, so the dad decided to spank him. And of course, this is Super Baby.
Yes,
it's like spanking a bar of metal. He goes, now son, this is gonna hurt me more than it hurts you. And of course it did.
I know it was a different time, but my mom also told me when I was growing up that I had it easy in my school, because she went to a Catholic school and she was taught by nuns there. And
nuns can be vicious.
Yeah, so she would tell me was every time that she was talking out of turn or something like that, the nuns were extremely strict. They would have her place her hand down.
The hands.
Yeah, and then whip with a ruler. Other times, she would also get locked into a cleaning closet as well. So I don't think those are good alternatives.
Yeah, you wouldn't want Sister Betrayal to get a hold of you.
Exactly. How did you grow up in
those
kind of situations?
My parents spanked when we were really little, but by gosh, not long after being five, it wasn't necessary anymore. Then they just did. I think as a child's able to reason, there are other kinds of punishments and taking away allowance or time in the room. But it really depends on the kid. My daughter loved being in her room. If we sent her to her room, she'd have the time of her life. She'd play records. She'd read books. She'd take out her dolls. She was very artistic. She'd draw. So there were times we had to just come up with other alternatives.
Okay. And then what about in the school? Were you homeschooled or were you?
I was not homeschooled. I grew up in the public school, and it was not a bad education. You need to understand the public school was much different in those days. I think it's a nightmare now. I myself did not have a bad experience in the public system. When I was really, really young, and we're talking now about the very early 1960s, occasionally you see a swat or a spank, but in no time at all, I didn't see that anymore, even when I was going to school.
As a kid, were you kind of shocked by that kind of...
Okay. In those days, we just figured if somebody was disobeying, it was entitled. And as a general rule, the parents did not object. They wanted discipline to be maintained. So we are living in different times. And that's the thing we've got to figure out, Brandon. To what degree are we so affected by our times that the idea of a school doing paddling just sounds so bizarre? I don't
believe it's going to fly. I do believe it's going to be overturned. Mm-hmm. And I still lean towards saying it should be in the home. But we are products of the times we live in. And it's, the schools are so out of control. Again, they need to do something.
I never thought of it that way. Maybe it's just because the people that are on the school board are from the generation of my mom
and exactly.
You. And so therefore,
it's just considered unthinkable. And you got to remember, the same people that would object to paddling in the school would usually object to paddling in the home.
Oh, yes.
And call it child abuse. There have been situations where parents have spanked their kids in public and social services come and taken the kids away from them. And can you imagine what kind of damage that does to some little kid for a few days?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it gets litigated in the courts and the child eventually returns home. But just imagine the damage. So they bleed a little too much. I slightly lean with them. Yeah, keep it in the home. But remember, the people that are barking the most about this, they probably don't want to see that paddling done in the home either.
Right. And again, like you said, you guys already identified the problem, find the solution and give us some other ideas.
Let's hear your alternatives. Yeah, let's hear your choices.
Again, I'm on the edge of like, okay, yeah, suspension won't really teach the kid that much. In fact, it's like you send your daughter to the room. I think they're going to probably enjoy not being in school at that time. They did offer the fact that maybe they could offer some therapy sessions for these kids and everything like that with counselors, but that's just more money and more resources that the school board might not be able to afford, maybe. I don't know.
Sometimes I think the best usage of that thick psychology book is it's a nice, thick, hard book to smack the kid in the rear end with.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, they'll find a solution at some point. But for now, I'm going to guess it's not going to go through.
Oh, besides, there's no way this thing's going to fly.
The school board has already made a public statement saying this policy might not even make it through the whole school year. You think? I'm just saying.
I don't think it'll make it through 1 week of the school year.
Maybe not. All right. So, let's go to some local news stories. So, Santee here in San Diego has approved of not one, not two, not three, but four cannabis stores to be open in the city.
I used to live in Santee. We used to be such a nice little city. They're going out of their minds, but then they're part of the state of California.
Now, this was also due to a recent vote, too, that showed that I think it said that 80% or 70% of people in Santee did not want this to pass in the first place. And one of the big
So how did it get passed? Did they ignore the vote?
Exactly.
Oh, a council voted for it. It wasn't a measure on the ballot. Of course.
They did a local survey about it.
What do they care what the peons and rabble think?
Yeah. So it was a 3-1 vote from the city council. Mayor John Minto was the lone no vote. Vice Mayor Ron Hall was also supposedly very against this idea as well, as he made public statements about it when it was first introduced in June. Unfortunately, he was absent for the meeting, but either way, it would have passed since it was a 3-2 vote. I'm very mixed on the situation because on the one hand, you get a lot of good city funding based off of this thing because some of the money, it gets taxed, and so then it has to go through the city and you're going to get more of a population with that. But I worry about the safety of the city as well because we've had some issues with Lemon Grove specifically with that weed shop over there. I believe there was one in La Mesa too, and I was getting told a story from Michael Schwartz, who is the president of San Diego County Gun Owners, that the gun store, that there's a gun store that's located right next to the weed shop, and constantly that weed shop is bringing in the smell of weed over into those gun shops, and it's deteriorating the business. Like, nobody wants to shoot with a place that smells like that all the time, and they've actually called the police quite a few times.
I personally can't stand the smell of marijuana, legal or illegal. I just hate it, and I've been in places where people will light up even in a movie theater, and I can't stand it.
I know. I understand people are probably... Some people out there are going to probably defend it. Oh, there's different strands of it and blah, blah. No. In general, I hate the smell of weed, really, in all honesty. It smells like, I guess a skunk would be the best way to describe it. It really does smell that bad to me. Anyways, going back to the story about the gun store very quickly, they would actually call a noise ordinance, and it would actually comply with that noise ordinance, surprisingly enough, because it's disturbing.
Disturbing the peace.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't think of that way.
A noisy smell.
A noisy smell, exactly. Yeah. So on the one hand, yes, you do get a lot more funding going through Santee. But on the other hand, you're definitely deteriorating from the population of the city saying we don't want this. I mean, Lakeside doesn't even have, I live out in Lakeside, and we don't have a single weed shop at all over there. And I think we're actually running pretty fine in terms of local businesses over there.
Well, Lakeside's a pretty conservative city, and so is Santee, but they're just ignoring, this is what's going on with politics these days. They just ignore the will of the people.
And then don't forget, though, too, Santee is also getting cut off more and more and more because of Jerry gerrymandering over there, because San Diego City is pushing back and back more and more about, oh, we own this land, so therefore, oh, and then I think we talked about this too. We brought in the El Cajon mayor that one time, and he was complaining how Gillette
State. Bill Wells?
Bill Wells, yeah. He was complaining how the airport there, is it Gillette Field? Is that the name?
Yeah, they're kind of technically under the county's jurisdiction, I think.
Yeah,
saying.
And they're no longer with City of El Cajon, which I can't imagine how, like a local city mayor, how he feels about it, obviously, because that's major business right there, because the airport itself, the airport field.
Well, then they fall under the clutches of the county board of supervisors.
Yep. And again, it just hurts the city in the end, too. So again, I personally am not a fan of this idea of passing the cannabis store, personally, especially for them. But again, you're going to have it on heavy regulations too against the government. It has to be a certain distance away from all the schools, and there's a lot of schools in Santee in general. So you're going to have to find a place for that, especially for four of them too. Tax dollars, a lot of it's going to be sent over. You're going to need to hire a lot of security all the time, because that's another ordinance made by the City of San Diego, or I think it's
well,
the county.
Any chance for local governments to have more ordinances, they'll just jump at the bit.
You know it.
They act like they're appeasing the libertarians, and I appreciate the libertarians and the freedom, but at the same time, there's weird stuff that this stuff does to your mind. There's got to be a balance here. Mm-hmm. I do have a libertarian sentiment myself, but there needs to be some balance once
exactly,
in a while.
Exactly, yeah. So I guess we'll just see if this works out for Santee, but I personally am going to say that I'm making an early prediction. People are going to be protesting about this, and they're not going to open any more stores than the four that are going
to
be.
Well, hopefully
open.
They'll take these people that are ignoring the will of the people and just vote them heck out of office.
Hopefully. All right, so on to my last story of the night. So Vanessa Bryant, who is Kobe Bryant's wife, was officially awarded $15 million. It was originally $16 million, but today the jury found some error in the evidence, they said. So she had to give back $1 million of the award to her. This was all from the police leaking.
Can you refresh us on this case?
So Kobe Bryant passed away, unfortunately, very tragically, in a helicopter accident along with his daughter. This case is having to do with the helicopter
crash.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so this helicopter crash happens. And the police are taking photos of all the evidence that's happened in the crash itself. And the police actually leaked those photos online instead of having any approval from the family themselves to actually share those photos if they wanted to.
Okay, so that's what. So then a lawsuit ensued.
Exactly, okay. Over the LAPD, and Vanessa did win. So this goes into my talking point I wanted to talk about, which is the LAPD being very strange with what information can be leaked, but then what information can't be leaked. And I'm comparing this over to the Tiger Woods incident that happened a few months ago, or I think it was last year, actually, I should say, where he got into a car accident and they said, oh, we are not allowed to release any information about what happened in the accident. What we can tell you, though, is that there was an empty prescription bottle and he did swerve into this tree and then he hit this tree instead. That's all we can say. But here's an example of LAPD going against everything they have about, I think it's the Personal Information Act is what they passed in LA, where they said that the person has to approve of actually allowing the public to see all this information if they want to. Otherwise, it is kept discreet from the public. And here's an example of LAPD actually saying, nope, here's all the evidence and here's the crash. And it's really, really sad and tragic to see that. I, for one, am very saddened by this. And I believe the Personal Information Act was passed for a reason. And I'm hoping that more and more police officers will actually follow through on this, no matter if you're a big celebrity or if you're someone small like me or somebody else out there, really, like any other hoo-ha out there. So that's just my personal thing on the matter. What's your opinion?
Well, when we put our trust in these institutions and they're inconsistent with what they release or they don't release, you always have to ask yourself why. Mm-hmm. There was some reason why that was done for one person and not the other. I don't know what that reason is, but it makes you a little bit suspicious. You feel like something's not right.
Right.
There seems to be a double standard on some level.
Exactly. So are you for one personally of going into all this information and saying, hey, please release this to the public? Or do you agree with the whole?
I think people are entitled to privacy, even if they're public figures. I don't think that just because somebody's a public figure, I mean, the family's dealing with enough with this tragedy.
Absolutely.
Again,
their daughter was only like 14, right?
Yeah. What do we think we are? The paparazzi? I mean, this stuff is really none of our business. So whether it's a public figure, whether it's not a public figure, there's certain things that are just nobody's business unless it pertains to a court case, and then those involved in the court case would be privy to it.
I don't know about you, but when I first heard about Kobe Bryant's passing, it wasn't even a real like big news source. It was actually TMZ, who was like known for celebrity gossip all the time. They were giving out information like crazy, and we're still not knowing how they were able to get all this information about the certain
person.
Yeah,
and depending on the person, it never stops. When Michael Jackson passed away for like 6 months, that was all you heard. Fox News for almost a month. Even Sean Hannity did nothing but talk about Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And you could tell he didn't want to. You could tell he was getting these memos from upstairs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember that day I was traveling from Chicago and I just kept seeing the news every airport that I stopped at, another update on top of that.
Yeah, and then, according to the latest sources, Michael Jackson is still dead.
I know. No, another one that you just reminded me of, Nancy Drew. I remember watching her when I was little and my mom told me never to watch, but I snuck by and watched her show every so often.
Oh, the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew Mysteries. I used to watch them.
Oh, no. Nancy Grace, I'm sorry.
You said Drew.
Oh, I know. Sorry. Nancy Grace.
She's a talk show host.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So she would talk
about... Wrong Nancy.
I know. Sorry about that. That was my fault. She would constantly talk about that murder case of I think it was a 3-year-old girl, and the mom actually drowned her in the pool.
Yeah,
and
it's just sensationalism.
Why would
somebody be so obsessed with those kinds of stories?
I don't know. But again, my hearts and prayers obviously go out to the Bryant family, and I'm glad some justice was served from the LAPD about this whole situation. So unfortunately, we have ran out of time again, but thank you again, Brendan, for letting me give all these news stories.
It's always a pleasure. You do a great job updating what's going on nationally, locally. All right, everybody. We will see you next time. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.